We're excited about going into the Word of the Lord today. We have been in a series the last few Sundays called Good, Better, Best. I told you about Kristen's a pastor of many years. I don't know if the statement or the chant, the charge, if you will, originated with him or not. I guess I need to study that and look at that, but I heard him say it so many, many times through the years. Good, better, best, never let it rest. Until your good is better and your better is best. We're reaching for the best. We're not going to rest at good or better because we anticipate and expect that the best is yet to come. Expecting the best. Again, I've covered and addressed and taken time to talk about the fact that I know our climate right now is not conducive to expecting the best. No, in many ways, we are expecting the worst. We're expecting things to continue to decline or continue to offer some struggle to us. But you have to remember, you are a person of faith. You are a man of faith, a woman of faith, a family of faith. You are an individual with faith, and your faith makes the difference in your life. So we expect the best. We're looking for the best. It may not happen today, it may not happen tomorrow, but we keep expecting and investing into the best. So we've talked about new wine for new seasons, and last Sunday we talked about a new you in this new season, because this new season demands a new us, a new you at your best. And today I want to talk to you about truth and dare. Truth and dare. No, I didn't mess that up. I know you are familiar with truth or dare, but today I'm going to give you some truth, and then I'm going to dare you to be obedient to that truth, dare you to respond to that truth, and I believe that God will help all of us. Do you believe that today? Matthew 28, beginning at verse 18, just a couple verses of Scripture today as foundation. Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He said, I want you to go and baptize people. I want you to win souls. I want you to convert disciples. I want you to do the work that I have empowered you to do. But be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, we have a promise from Jesus himself. These words are read in your Bible. Jesus is speaking, and he is giving us a promise. Here's the promise. We will reach the end of the age before we reach the end of the goodness of God in Christ Jesus. We're going to run out of time before we run out of the goodness of God. That means as long as I am alive, as long as I am breathing, as long as this globe is spinning, the goodness of God is still at work. He's still moving. He's still helping. He's still making a difference. I realize that this age is filled with hurt and pain and sickness and injustice and heartache. It is no secret that our world is broken. But as long as this age continues, Jesus will continue to be a healer. He will continue to be a provider. He will continue to be peace in troubled times. He will continue to be a banner of victory for every fight, a shepherd, an ever-present help in times of trouble. I realize our favorite stores are out of our favorite supplies right now, but God is not low on his goodness. You may walk into the grocery store and wonder when they're going to get your favorite brand or your favorite product back. Sometimes what's happening in the natural, we automatically attach to the spiritual. Well, if Kroger's out of it, then the church is probably out of it too. Well, if my favorite shopping store, if their shelves are bare, then the blessings of heaven are probably all run out as well. No. The spiritual does not match the natural in this case. His shelves are overrun with the blessings of God, with the goodness of God, with everything that you and I need, everything that you and I desire, everything that you and I want. We just have to attach our faith to believe God for the best, even in this crazy season. Good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. So today I want to give you three truths that I believe should shape our worldview. And then I want to give you four responses to those truths. So if you're getting paper and pen ready, or maybe you're typing it into your phone, or maybe you need to go and grab a notepad at home, get ready to write this down, because I believe this is something that you're going to want to study this week. You're going to want to chew on this and work through this, because I believe it's the kind of word that will build and bless your life and help you. Three truths that will shape your view of the world and four responses to those truths. Stephen Covey wrote a book many years ago called Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. I've read the book many years ago. It is one of the all-time best sellers in history, celebrated across all belief systems and structures. Many people have read this and have used it to help shape their worldview and the way that they think. One of the habits of highly effective people in that book is to begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. Here is the point. People who can envision the desired outcome began to work more efficiently and effectively. That means people who have a goal, people who can say, you know, this is where I want my life to be in 5 years. This is what I want to see happen by the end of 2020. This is where I want to be. When you establish a goal, when you decide that this is what I want to see happen in my life. We got young people in the room today. I challenge you to start thinking now. I'm not talking about being stressed by or pressured by or not having a good time or enjoying your youth. I'm not talking about being so driven that you can't have any fun. Have all the fun you possibly can have and still be saved, but somewhere you ought to devote some brain power to what do I want to do with my life, and if that's what I want to do, what can I start doing right now? Because here's a truth in life. things are not just going to happen all of a sudden one day. If you're going to acquire anything, attain anything, achieve anything, become anything, it's going to be because you begin with the end in mind. So knowing where you want to end up will influence the work and the effort that you put in today. I think we get sidetracked when the end is in doubt or the outcome is uncertain. If you would allow me to revisit previous teaching in the last few weeks, we've talked about the instability of the times we're living in. And the fact that instability, uncertainty, instability produces anxiety. Anxiety produces exhaustion. Exhaustion produces paralysis. Before you know it, because of the instability that we're living in, we're paralyzed. We don't feel like doing anything. I have felt this. I've felt this in the last few weeks. I've felt this for our church. I've felt this for our leaders. I have felt this personally, the instability, the anxiety, the exhaustion, the paralysis of not knowing what to do next or where to turn or just how to sort it all out. That's why I'm teaching what I'm teaching in this series, just gingerly trying to wake us up a little bit to recognize, wait a minute, God still has a plan. God is still in control. God is still at work in your life and in my life. And I promise you, church, I promise you, watching online today, if you'll buy into this word, if you'll lean into this word, God is going to raise us up stronger than we ever have been before, more able than we ever have been before. Does anybody believe the word of the Lord today? The truth is, it's discouraging. It's downright depressing to be working at something that is doomed to fail. To be investing in something that is never going to give the return or the desired outcome that you're looking for. That is such a hard reality for people. To know you're working every day at a business that is never going to do better than it's doing right now. To just keep throwing energy and effort and time and money into something that is never going to produce. You got to make the hard decision. You've got to make the hard choice. You've got to come to terms with the fact that maybe it's time to do something different. Hear me today. Discouragement is demonic. Whether it's 10 faithless spies talking the people of Israel out of their promise, or whether it's Jezebel, who was a woman in the Bible but is also described as a spirit in the world. The goal of Jezebel is to cancel the voice of God and to discourage the work of God. Jezebel came to Elijah and talked to him for just a few minutes and sent him into such a depression that Elijah became suicidal because he felt like he wasn't making a difference. Discouragement is demonic. Revelation 12 and 12, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows his time is short. I loved it. I've drawn strength from that verse all week long in studying for our teaching today. Woe to everybody. Listen, this is not woe to you. This is woe to the enemy, because he knows he is filled with fury. That's why the devil is so busy right now. That's why he is doing all that he's doing. That's why he's creating all of the havoc that he's creating, because he knows his time is short. Listen, our time isn't short. His time is short. Our time isn't borrowed. His time is borrowed because our promise is longer than his time. So let me get to these three truths. Number one, we are working from victory, not for victory. I feel like I need to open the altar right now. I've just preached. We are working from victory and not for victory. What does that mean? That means we've already won. You have already won. We are already victorious. This is the difference in playing offense and playing defense. A team who is behind, they get desperate. They start scrambling to try to catch up. I'm sorry, this is about all the sports you're going to get this season, what I'm describing to you right now. This is like you're watching football right now, men. But a team that gets desperate because they're behind in score, they get desperate. They start trying to scramble and figure out how are we going to get back. And usually the faster you go and the harder you work and the more scrambling you do, it's easier to make mistakes. That's why you've got to stop living your life on defense, always trying to catch up and realize that Jesus has already started you out on offense. You're working from victory. You're not trying to attain victory. You already have victory in Jesus. It's the difference of waking up this coming Monday morning saying, well, let me see if I can somehow figure out how to make this a good week. Let me see if somehow I can figure out how to put two things together and just see if I can get through one more week. That's one outlook at life. And then there's somebody else that's going to wake up and say, man, this is going to be a fantastic week. Why? Because I have breath in my body, and I've got strength in my feet, and I've got clarity in my mind, and I've got a word of praise in my mouth. I'm not looking for victory this week. I already have victory. I'm just looking to see how God is going to work it out and walk it out in my life. Why? Because we are working from victory. It's already established and not for victory. Because Jesus has already put us ahead. Everybody that feels behind right now is not amening. Because you're not sure if you believe that. You've had so many days on defense and so many days where you're behind and so many days where you're underneath the load, lost somewhere in that instability, anxiety, exhaustion, paralysis, can't quite figure out how to get this cloudiness out of my mind. Today ought to become a new day in your life. Today ought to be a reset in your life. Today ought to be the day that your mind becomes clear and you realize, wait a minute, I am already victorious. I dare you to look at somebody in this room and say, I have victory. I dare you to type in the chat, I am victorious. I already have victory in my life. So let me go to the second truth, and let me read some verses, and then I'll give you that because it's really understood clearly in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. It's God's word to Jehoshaphat, who was a king in that time. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 15. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Don't be afraid. I know you're looking out there at thousands of men, enemies standing against you. I know you see their sword, their shield. You see their horses set in array. You see all of the things that are against you, but this battle is not yours. So he tells them, tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Man, that tells me that the second truth I need in my life to shape my worldview is the fact that the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. Remember, we're not working, we're working from victory and not for victory. Secondly, the battle belongs to the Lord. What if we began each day? What if we began every battle of life day, every day that is a new fight, a new challenge, a new difficulty, a new circumstance? What if we began every day believing the words that God gave to Jehoshaphat? The battle is not yours. The battle is mine. I'm going to fight for you. I want you to get in position. I want you to look like a warrior. I want you to hold a sword. I want you to hold a shield. But I am going to fight for you. Because the truth is, worry is the enemy of work. I get exhausted. I become paralyzed mentally and spiritually. Worry is the enemy of the work that I need to do. It's hard to work and worry at the same time. And I don't want you to be misled today, because we're not delivered from battles, but we are delivered from the burden of the battle. I want to say that again, because I don't want anybody to leave to say, well, the pastor said I'm never going to have a bad day. No, you're going to have plenty of them. I don't want you to leave today thinking, well, did you hear the pastor? He said, we're never going to have another fight. So as soon as another fight crops up, we're going to know he's a false prophet and that church is a lie and this God stuff is a joke. No, there are going to be plenty of battles, but the battles are not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. Am I teaching today? Am I making sense today? I'm just checking. Just checking. These verses aren't given to us to say that there will not be battles. The opposite is true. There will be battles. But we have a promise. While we have a promise that there will be battles, we have a promise that the battle is not ours. David said it this way to his enemies. 1 Samuel 17, 46 and 47. He said, today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. Now, can you imagine standing up to fight your enemy, and all of a sudden you hear, I'm about to kill you, and then I'm going to feed your bodies to the birds and the beast. All of a sudden, you're going to start thinking twice about whether or not you want to fight that individual. Because it's hard to whip crazy. It's impossible to whip crazy. David said, I'm going to kill you, and then I'm going to feed you to the birds. What kind of bird is going to eat me? That's not a man who is on defense. That's not a man who is timid or afraid. You see, the only way we lose is by fighting the wrong battles and using the wrong weapons. Maybe you and I need to take inventory of how we're fighting and what we are fighting with. Don't make me bring Paul into this to talk to us about the fact that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. I'm going to leave Paul alone today. Sometimes we're fighting with the wrong weapons, and that's why we compromise ourselves in the battle. Hear me. The battle belongs to the Lord. And if we understand the battle belongs to the Lord, that sends me running to giants instead of from giants. I'm living on offense. I'm going after the best. I'm not scared of the best. I'm not scared of life. I'm going after life. I'm running toward the problem. I'm running toward the giant in my life. That's why Jesus said, go. I am with you always. We don't run from problems. We run to problems. Because you and I have to be agents of change in our community. That's why I've been saying now for weeks, maybe even months, we cannot take on the same opinions or attitudes of the world. We spiritual people cannot allow ourselves to think like people who are not spiritual. That's not a judgment or a criticism. That's a knowledge thing. I know something that constrains me. I have knowledge that establishes boundaries in my life. That means I don't argue with people the way they argue. I don't fuss with people the way they fuss. I don't get on Facebook and type out everything I'm thinking. Why? Because I have been bought with a price, and my Holy Ghost constrains me. It keeps me from saying some things. It slows me down from reacting some ways. Why? Because this battle is not mine. And if I want it to become mine, then I'm going to have to put down the weapons that are spiritual and take up the weapons that are carnal. And that puts me in direct disobedience and disalignment to the Word of God. And guess what? I'm setting myself up to fail. I'm teaching good today. So we go knowing that God is going to provide. We go into the battle knowing that God is going to sustain. We go knowing that God is going to deliver, that God is going to bring peace, and that God is going to bring joy. Let me give you the third truth. I'm moving fast. Matthew 13 and 33, Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. She only used a little bit, but it affected the whole. Here's the third truth. Wherever the kingdom goes, the kingdom grows. Wherever the kingdom goes, the kingdom grows. When we take the name of Jesus, we bring healing and hope. That's why this cannot be just a Sunday thing in your life. It's got to be a Monday thing and a Tuesday thing and a Thursday thing and a Friday thing and everywhere you go thing. Not just when I go to church and when I go to the grocery store, I'm someone different, or I act different, or think different, or do. No. I'm taking this everywhere, because wherever the kingdom goes, the kingdom grows. The only way we lose is to not go where God has told us to go. Because our promise is that every place that the sole of our foot touches has been given to us. We don't believe that. We don't have faith for that right now. We don't stand on that, even though that's the promise that God has given. If you will go there, I will grow there, if you will go there, then the little bit of Jesus that you have, the little bit of yeast that you put in the large batch of dough, that yeast is going to permeate the entire dough. It's going to reach every part of the dough. So the Jesus that's in you is going to get to your job and get to your school and get to the place you're shopping and get into your neighborhood, because wherever the kingdom goes, kingdom grows. Here's my question. You feel like going somewhere today? You feel like going somewhere? Oh, Granny, I just felt like I need to stop and just say hello to you today. Uncle, I just wanted to stop by and just say hi to you today. Really, I got an ulterior motive. I didn't just come to say hi. Hi is great. I just came to walk around in their living room a little bit. Why don't you sit down? No, I don't feel like sitting down. I'm just walking around. I'm going to walk in your kitchen and walk into your bathroom and walk over into your bedroom. Why? Because every place that I go, I'm bringing Jesus with me. You ought to go. If you got to go in on Sunday when there's no customers, you ought to just go walk every square foot of your business. Just go walk around your house. Go walk around the entire expanse of your property. Walk up and down your driveway. God, everywhere the place the sole of my feet touch, it is yours. You have to come here. You have to abide here. You have to belong here, because wherever the kingdom goes, the kingdom grows. So that's the three truths. We're not fighting our battle. We're fighting the Lord's battle. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. And wherever the kingdom goes, the kingdom grows. Now, let me give you four responses to those truths. How do we respond? How do we react to those truths? Number one, we give to the kingdom of God. Now just hang with me. I won't stay on this long, but allow me just a moment to teach. One of our responses to these truths is that we give to the kingdom of God. Every believer should be an investor in the kingdom of God. Because our hope and our prayer is that the kingdom of heaven will come to earth. That's what we're wanting to have happen. We want heaven to come to earth. Eventually, we're trying to get out of here and get to heaven. But while we're here, while we're occupying, until he comes, we want heaven to come to earth. And it's really hard to say we believe that Jesus gave 100% while we trip over 10%. Ooh, it hurt, didn't it? We won't even go to the store that offers 10% off. We say, ain't enough. Call me when it's 20. Call me when it's 30. But when we get to church, 10% is like, what? The Bible said what? We trip over 10%. But see, God gives us a promise in his word. Malachi 3. I'm going to go to number 2 real quick. But while I'm still on number 1, Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse so that there will be room enough or be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I'll pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. He's saying, test me in this. Try me. See if what I'm telling you is the truth. I'll open up windows. So why is this a point? Why is give to the kingdom of God one of the responses to the truths that we've heard today? Let me tell you why. Because we need an open heaven. We need an open heaven. Is this about money? It's really not. But at the same time, you know what money does in the natural. You know what money does in your life. You know what money does in your household. Those principles are true in the church as well. Money is required to function, to operate, all of those things. But in the spiritual, my being obedient to the word of God opens the heavens over my life. Let me say it even more clearly, if I can. A closed hand means a closed heaven. But an open hand means an open heaven. And I'm convinced that how we handle money in this season is more impactful than any other season. In this season of pandemic, in this season of fear, in this season of, I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm going to stop being faithful. I'm going to pull back on obedience because I just don't know. There's so many uncertainties in life. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to pull back. That's not offense. That's defense. That's not a position of strength. That's not a position of victory. That's a position of fear. You can't be full of fear and full of faith at the same time. In fact, let me just be obedient to God. Is there a single mom in this room today? Is there a single mom? Single mom. Come here, ma'am. I don't know you. Come here. This ain't the church's $100 bill. This is my personal money that I pulled out of my billfold today. I already see tears in your eyes. I don't know what this is going to do for you. I don't know how this is going to help you this week, but God bless you today. I'm not doing that for show. I'm not doing that for anybody to clap for me. I'm doing that because I want an open heaven over my life. I've been asking God the last few days for revival. I want revival. I want a move of God. I want something to happen in my home. I want something to happen for my kids. I want something to happen in the church that I attend and am faithful to. And I hear God saying, then you need to be obedient and faithful and move when I tell you to move and work when I tell you to work. I was going to do that a moment ago, but I let the devil say, no, you need that money. You got this and that and that and this. You need to take care of this problem and that problem. And the more I preach this, the more I feel convicted in my heart that says, why are you preaching about obedience when I told you to do something? And what I told you to do is still in your pocket. So let me get it out of my pocket. Let me be obedient so that God can open the heavens in my life. How we handle money in this season is more important than any other season. I challenge you to be faithful in this season. Is the word of God good for anybody today? Number two, our second response is to serve in the kingdom of God. To serve in the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 1 and 9, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. We are saved to serve. Serve in the kingdom of God. Someone came to me last Sunday. Someone new, fairly new to our church. I just want to serve. I want to serve somewhere. How do I get involved? How do I serve? I don't even have to ask why. Why is this on your mind? Why are you feeling this way? Because I understand that that is the culture of this house. That is the spirit that flows through this house. I'm not saved to sit. I'm saved to serve. God has done this awesome work in my life. God has done this miraculous work of salvation in my life, not so I could just sit on my hands and watch the world go by, but so that I could get my hands in the harvest and be a part of someone's miracle, be a part of someone's breakthrough, be a part of someone's healing, be a part of someone's deliverance. I want to serve in the kingdom of God. God saved us so that he could call us. And I'm convinced we need to rediscover the idea that I am supposed to do a work for God. Well, I'm still a work of God. Uh-huh, me too. But I need to rediscover that I am supposed to do a work for God. The work that I do is for God's purpose. God has attached the fulfillment of my life to the advancing of his purpose. That's why so many other things that I've been involved in have not fulfilled me. Nothing fulfills me like being in his kingdom and advancing his kingdom. So if you're not feeling fulfilled, I want to challenge you to discover your purpose, because that's where fulfillment comes from. Number three, moving quickly. Number three, replace heaviness with praise. This is a response to the truths that we heard a moment ago. I don't want to confuse you with all the one, twos, and threes, and we're fighting from victory and not for victory. It's a truth. This is not our battle, it's the Lord's battle. That's a truth. Wherever the kingdom goes, the kingdom grows. That is a truth. My response to those truths is that I give to the kingdom. I serve in the kingdom. And number three, I replace heaviness with praise. Because heaviness is the language of the defeated, while praise is the language of the victorious. The only thing I could think of was Braveheart when I was preparing this. William Wallace getting ready to go fight. Have you ever seen it? If you hadn't, you ought to watch it today and get ready for your week. He's not standing there going, "All right, guys, we're going to go fight. Let's go take this. We've been done wrong. We've been stolen from. We've been through all kinds of hell." And certain, y'all ready? Y'all ready down there? You ready? No. Freedom! I mean, man, just guttural and from down deep. That's the language of the victorious. There is a roar. There is a shout. It's not this mealy mouth, "I just don't know if I'm going to make it this week." No, that is the language of the defeated, the language of the victorious is, "God, you are my praise. I rejoice. How great, how great is our God. You are great. You are greatly to be praised." That's the language of the victorious. So replace the heaviness with praise. Because praise is an eviction notice on discouragement. Again, right now in the natural, we've got protections right now. Our government mandated state, we got protections that people can't be evicted. I don't know how long that's going to last. We got protections that people in this, I don't think that's been changed the last few days, but then we start thinking what's true in the natural is true in the spiritual. Well, I got this depression, but I can't evict it, you know, right now. Government said, "No, I can't evict it." No, it's kick that thing out of your house. Kick that thing out of your life. Get them out of your head. Get them out of your mind. Get them out of your heart. Serve an eviction notice on depression and discouragement. I challenge you today. I wish I could teach what I really feel in my spirit today, because I see it happen so often. People are having a bad day. They go straight to social media. "I'm having a bad day." And I get it. I understand you're wanting somebody to pray with you. You're wanting someone to believe with you. I understand. It's mass communication. But I challenge you. You feel that way this week, go to your social media with praise. Don't use the language of defeated. Use the language of victory. This is the day that the Lord has made. You may be feeling bad on the inside. You may be struggling. You may be feeling those feelings of instability, anxiety, exhaustion, paralysis. You may be in that in that muck and mire somewhere, but I'm going to use the language of victory. And I promise you, you won't praise but a moment before a smile will come to your heart. God, I feel you in this room today. You come argue with me after church if your experience is different. But as for me and my 2 feet, I have never been able to worship and stay down for long. Just hadn't been able to do it. If I worship, it starts lifting me up. If I praise, it starts building me up. Woo! I think sometimes we get addicted to heaviness. Well, that's another message for another time, but I almost feel the Lord trying to pull me into talking to somebody about the excuses that come with our heaviness and the attention we get by our heaviness. Another message, another time. Worship. Give God praise. Replace heaviness with praise. Number four, let me say this quickly. Number four, gather with purpose. Gather with purpose. Give to the kingdom of God. Serve in the kingdom of God. Replace heaviness with praise. Number four, our final response to these truths today. Gather with purpose. Hebrews 10:25. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together. But Pastor Darrell, there is a pandemic. I get that. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together. But Pastor Darrell, I feel like I need to wear a mask. Wear a mask and say, this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together. Still, I feel judged watching online. You're not judged. I'm just preaching the word. This is not the time to pull away or neglect meeting together. Let me go on. He said, as some have formed the habit of doing. Now, I'm just going to be a good pastor. We'll be a good pastor. Because y'all are addicted to social media. You check in everywhere. You tell everybody where you are all week long. And you are everywhere all week long. But when it comes time for church, you are scared of the virus. I love you. But it's my job to challenge you. Gather with purpose. Do I need to give all my disclaimers? Maybe your first time. Listen, if you're compromised health, do what you're doing. But if you have created some bad habits, we got people watching from Florida today. We got online campus that is growing. People that are tuning in and faithful. We're going to keep growing our online location, our online campus. We're thrilled to have you today. But if you live about 5 miles from here, and you've just gotten so comfortable in your pajamas, and it's really not about fear of COVID-19, you're just really comfortable in your pajamas, I challenge you to get up out of your house and get yourself among the people of God. Gather with purpose. Yes, He will move where two or three are gathered. But it's a lot more fun to have 200 or 300. So much more fun. It's not time to pull away. We need the presence of God. We need the community of the family of God. So maybe it's time I take inventory. Maybe I'm thinking things, saying things that I'd never do before. Time away from church. Take inventory. rein it in, find purpose in your life. Father, I've preached your word today. I pray you'd help every hearer of this word today, in this house, watching online right now. I hope everybody knows how much you love them. Love us so much that you'll teach to us, you'll help us, you'll shape us, you'll tell us exactly what we need to hear. I am so burdened for this community. So burdened for Newton County, Walton County, Rockdale County. So burdened for all of cities and towns around us, Lord. Burdened for our state. I'm burdened for our nation. We need revival. We need a move of your spirit. We need open heavens over our community and church. I pray you'd help us, Father, as we respond to these truths, as we put into practice these things that you've called us to. I pray that you'd help us. I pray you'd speak loud, 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 louder than any other voice in our lives. Pray we would hear your word louder than all these next few days. In Jesus' name. Truth and dare. I've given you the truth. Now I dare you to respond, to become obedient. You've got the truth watching online. Now I dare you to do something with it. What do you need God to do in your life? How do you need God to work in your life? How do you need God to move in your life? I dare you to put your faith in Jesus. How do I do that? I'll pray with you right now. Say yes to Jesus. How do I do that? I'll help you with that prayer right now. Say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to walk with you. I want to know you. I want you to forgive me. I want you to deliver me. I want you to change my life. Today I say yes to you, and I say no to the world. I say yes to your purpose, and I say no to wandering through life having no clue who I am or what you've called me to do. Today I say yes. I receive your grace, your mercy, and your power. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Listen, if you prayed that with me in this room, if you prayed that watching online right now, the Lord just did a work in your life. He's not finished. He's just getting started, but he just began a work in your life that he will be faithful to finish in your life. But if you prayed that, we want to know, because we want to help you. We want to resource you. If you're in this room and you prayed that, on either side of this auditorium are giant yes banners. There's a book on each of those tables called Following Jesus. We'll put this into your hand free of charge. If you're watching online, if you will type the word follow, just F-O-L-L-O-W, follow. Type follow. We'll get you a copy of this to your inbox. You can read it digitally right there on your phone. It'll help you with next steps and how to and what to do in Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord praise today for people that put their faith in Jesus? Hallelujah.